Now your head's in the picture.
Crawl back to your chair.
Cut. All right. Print that. That's a take, you know.
It has a red dot.
There you go. Paul will be encouraged by our professionalism to no end. You can leave it in, Paul, or not, whatever you want to do. That's right. Morning sermon, take one. When I think of what we've gone through and what I personally remember, I was thinking this morning driving up here, Walter, about wrestling with that old Gestetner to do a bulletin. And now we've got digital video cameras, we've got CD recorders, we've got digital stuff on the internet, we have a Facebook page. I've never seen it, but we've got one, I've been told. Debbie has a Facebook account, she doesn't use it. The only reason she's got one is because I set it up for her. But she's forgot her username and her password, I'm sure, by now. So I can't even get on there to look at it because I think I forgot. It's okay. I know how to YouTube if I need to. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be here. If you would, let's go ahead and get started and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read about 5 verses, beginning in verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, a younger preacher. The apostle to the Gentiles, writing to Timothy. And he's giving instruction, encouragement, and warnings. There's a lot of warnings. I don't want to go into all of them, but I do want to just hit this one because it kind of hit me the other day as I was looking at this. Just in the back up a few verses to, what is it, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, talking about doctrine, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. That's what this man is. If you won't consent to it, if you won't teach the truth, if you won't consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's proud. God hates that. But he doesn't stop there. He says, knowing nothing. knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of word, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Don't even hang around them, because it's of no value. If they will not consent to the words of the Lord, they don't know nothing.
Yeah, right.
I know that's bad English, but I like saying it that way. You don't know nothing if you don't know the words of Christ.
Yeah.
If you will not consent to His doctrine,
right.
If you will not consent to His word, you don't know nothing. Because that's where all knowledge is in Him.
Amen.
All truth is in Him and in His words.
Yes.
And we are to hear them. And if you won't hear them, if you won't have them, you don't know nothing. Paul's plain. He's not apologizing. He's not hedging his bets. He's not saying, well, you need to maybe, you know, take a little more time with them and maybe spend a little more. No, he said, if that's the way they are, withdraw yourself.
Yeah, right.
But the opposite is also true. If that's not the way they are, join together.
Yeah, right.
That's good too.
Yes.
If someone does consent to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who does believe the doctrine, don't withdraw yourself.
Yes.
I like that. Because all of His words are wholesome.
Yes.
All of His words are sound, healthy, uncorrupt, and whole.
Yes.
Because if you're without the words of Christ, you're not whole. You're not.
Right.
If you will not consent, approach, come near. I looked at that word, Walter. Worship. And you use your word. Submit to the words of Jesus Christ. Submit to His doctrine. Submit to His teaching.
Yes.
You don't know nothing. And if you do, you know it all. That's the beauty of it. If you know Him, you know all there is to know. You may not know it all well, you may not know it all perfectly, but if you know Him, you know His words. You know more than the world will ever know. I still like that thing Mays Jackson said, when he said, people get envious of the world. You get envious because they've got bigger houses, they've got better cars, they've got more money, their kids seem happier and cleaner, and they don't have problems as far as what you think they don't. He says, but if you know Christ, you have so much more than most people will ever have.
Yes.
Because you know the truth of God.
Amen.
And I want that. I want Him. But after he gets through with these warnings, in verse 11, he warns Timothy here, but by this Bible, he warns us. But thou, man of God, flee these things. It's all right to run away from some things. It's okay, matter of fact, Paul says it's required.
Yep.
You need to flee some things.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to go into a list because there's a great big list right here. Perverse disputings of corrupt minds and people who are destitute
yes.
of the truth. Go ahead and flee.
Yeah.
Stay away from them.
Yes.
Withdraw thyself. But follow after some other things. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. after righteousness. I can multitask here. You can flee some things and follow after righteousness at the same time. It's like that thing where you're told, turn to God from idols. See, if you're following after righteousness, you're going to be fleeing some things. And if you're going to be following after godliness, you're going to be fleeing some things. And if you're following after faith, love, patience, meekness, the only way to do that sometimes is to flee from some things. The one right before this, these people suppose that gain is godliness. Flee from it. Flee from it. That's not the way of righteousness. No matter what they say on the television. No matter what any of them say. Gain is not godliness. It's not. Because these things that we're fleeing and these things that we are to follow after are what's called exclusionary.
Yes.
They don't mix.
No.
They do not mix. You cannot mix law and grace.
Right.
You cannot mix works and sovereignty. Not for salvation. I'm not against works that God has both given you to will and to do of His good pleasure. But these people are putting works to get salvation. That's not right. They're exclusionary. They do not go together. Excuse me. And in the course, sometimes, of fleeing some things, you may end up fleeing some people.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we call the breaks. That's just the breaks.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yes.
That's just the way it is, and that's the way it always has been. Come out from among them and be ye separate, O ye my people. Luckily, not luckily, providence, grace, direct intervention sometimes, people will separate themselves from you. They'll flee you while you're fleeing them. I like it when it works out that way. There's a lot less conflict. When you go one way, they go one way, and I go another. Me and a lobster had that discussion in the New River one time. He decided to go that way, and I decided to go this way. I've had that discussion a couple of times with bears in the woods. They go that way, and since they're going that way, I'm going this way. Because the bear and I have decided that we are exclusionary. I'm happy to flee sometimes. And I'm happy sometimes that they are leaving me.
Yes.
Sometimes it does hurt.
Sure.
And sometimes it does bite at you. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
When you're staying away from some things, you're staying away from some people.
Sure.
Then he tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now the good fight of faith is to follow after righteousness. It's to follow after godliness. It's to follow after faith, love, patience, and meekness. Well, most of all, it's to follow after Christ.
Right.
Because that's who your faith is in, if you're His. That's it. Now, this is actually something you can do. I guess it's more multitasking. This is something you can do while you're fleeing. You can fight the good fight of faith.
Yes. Yeah.
While you're fleeing some things.
Right.
Matter of fact, it's better if you do. Does this mean that there is a bad fight? Well, yeah, possibly. I will tell you one thing. The good fight of faith is not using fisticuffs.
No.
I heard that in a Baptist church. And I know Walter has, and Roy, and Linda, and some others. Now, he didn't use necessarily this scripture. What he said was, when we're told to earnestly contend for the faith, and that means use your fist, even if you have to. No, it's not what it means.
No.
It's not. It's a struggle. It is a fight. Paul likens it to a race to be run. But it's not a physical fight. Now, I'm not against defending yourself. I am not against defending one of the brethren. I'm not against defending your home or your family. But that's not the good fight of faith. It's to follow after righteousness. It's to follow after godliness. It's to follow after faith. It tells us to lay hold on eternal life. Not so you can have it, but because you've already been called to it. And we are to lay hold of it, to grasp it,
yes,
to hold on with both hands and whatever you got to the truth of Jesus Christ. Righteousness, His righteousness, not ours. Godliness, not mine, His. Faith, He's the author. Well, He's the finisher.
Yes.
He's the creator of faith. He's the giver of faith. But I am to hold on to it.
Sure.
I am to hold on to it. I am to believe Him as hard as I can,
yep,
which is as hard as He gave me. It is a fight.
Yes.
It is a struggle. Your mind will be caught away, distracted. I'm bad at distractions. I see something out of the corner of my eye, I've got to look at it. They say that's because we're hunters and we have looking for prey and we see movement. Well, we do see movement. But it's also because I can't control my mind.
Right.
I've seen, Earl asked me when we got this last dog I got, told him we got a blue heeler. And he wanted to know if Jake focused. And I said, yeah, if he gets something in his eyes, I mean, that's what he's looking at. And he'll turn his head, but he'll sit there and he'll focus on that rabbit in that yard like nobody's business. And you can talk to him, and you got to get his attention. Usually I have to do that by touching him. I can't do that. I wish I could. Or if I can do it, I'm doing it on the wrong thing. And don't tell Debbie I said that. Because she'll say, you're not listening to me. And I'll say, of course I am, dear. And usually I am half listening. I'm sorry. That was for her, not for you guys. This is why we need these reminders to fight the good fight of faith. And it doesn't include fisticuffs, but we are in a fight. And we do have to lay hold on eternal life. and not forget it. Because we are in a fight, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's why I say there is no fisticuffs. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our fight is. Because a lot of it's up here. And I did listen to that message by Joe Terrell, and I understand exactly what he was saying when he says, see, you have this fight and you're having it with yourself. And you do wonder sometimes about multiple personality disorder. I used to say schizophrenia, but you know, now the technical term is multiple personality disorder. Because you hear voices in your head, even though you don't hear voices in your head, but it's all me. There's that girl that sang that song, I am my own worst enemy. I agree. There are things that I don't want to do that I do. There are things I want to do that I don't do. And every now and then there's something I want to do and I do it and it's a wrong thing anyway. Because I'm wrong. It is a fight. But we are to hold on to what we have been called to by the Holy Spirit. We are to hold on to whom we have been called unto by the Holy Spirit. And it is a fight. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. Walter, that's everywhere. Who makes alive? God. It's all throughout the scriptures. And before Christ Jesus, whom before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Where does life come from? Well, that's the wrong question. It's whom.
Yes.
Whom does life come from? Yeah. It comes from Him.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me. It comes from Him.
Yes.
Who makes the dead to live? Who makes alive? The one who has life in himself.
Amen.
Intrinsically. I like that. Life intrinsically in himself. He's the one that gives life.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ witnessed a good confession, before Pilate. He spoke the truth. He was scourged. He was beaten. His visage was marred. And he took it.
Yes.
He didn't have to. But it was the will of the Father. It was what He came to do.
Yeah.
He took it. Himself, personally. He didn't have to, but He did. Because it was the Father's will that the Scriptures be fulfilled. And it was the Son's will to do the Father's will. And that witness was a good confession. But that confession is over. It will never happen again.
Right.
It's once. One sacrifice for sin forever. And that rock that was Christ, is never going to be smitten again.
Right.
And Jesus Christ is never going to be smitten again, which makes utter and complete nonsense of what the Catholics call the sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah.
You're not changing any wine into blood. I don't care who you think you are. And if you did, I'm not drinking it. Because his blood was shed once. And it was offered to God. It wasn't offered to me. Now, by the Lord's table, we do take that. But we don't have a sacrifice. The sacrifice has been made. Christ Jesus had a good confession before Pilate and went on and was crucified, died, was buried, resurrected, ascended unto God, made the offering to God for whom it was made, the offended party, and that part's done. It's over. There is no more, because that rock, that Christ, will never be smitten again, because he goes on here, which is kind of where I was heading, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again, but he's not going to get smitten this time. He's coming. But this commandment, and the only commandment I know, is love one another. Now, but I will tell you this, where Paul had just wrote, fight the good fight of faith, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto also are called, thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. That's talking about Timothy's profession. Don't stop. Don't stop. Now, the only other thing I could come up with where it talks about without spot and unrebukable, I don't know a lot about without spot and unrebukable. The only thing I know, and this is from my own personal experience, I don't know of a time that I can remember. See, I'm qualifying already. I'm already hedging my bets. Where I doubted him.
Right.
My Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I doubted me lots of times.
Yes.
I doubt my salvation sometimes.
Sure.
I try not to dwell there, but I'm not really good at that either sometimes. But the commandment without spot and without blemish is faith in him.
Yes, right.
Not faith in me. Not faith in my being a sheep. Faith that he is the good shepherd.
Yes.
And that's what my faith is in. And that's the only thing I can come close to doing stuff. Because I might doubt a lot of things, but I don't doubt him. And that is only and completely by his grace. That's one of the things to will and to do of his good pleasure, is to know him. We are to continue on. You want to call it perseverance of the saints? You want to call it preservation of the saints? Call it whatever you want. Continue on. Don't stop. Continue on in the faith until he comes, because he is coming again. We are kept by the power of God through faith. And we will be kept until he comes. We take no credit, because God does both work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you don't do, you have no reason to claim. Now, I'm not saying you aren't his, but if you don't have faith in him, you have no reason to claim to know him. You have no reason to think you know him. And if you can quit, go ahead. I remember that story. A fellow who's a traveling evangelist said he'd gone to this place and he was preaching a revival meeting, as they called it. And I heard him preach one good one once. But he said he was trying to preach on why I can't quit. And the fellow that was the pastor there was like 84 years old. And he said the pastor came up to him after it was over, and he said that was a good message. And he says, but I'll tell you this. He says, I always tell them quit if you can. If you can, quit. If you can, you can quit. Now, if you can't, come on in. I can't quit. I thought about it sometimes. I thought about this, standing up here. But since I can blame it all on Walter, I'm okay. I can. Well, we're talking about blame, not responsibility. That's right. Paul said it one time. He says, I was before men blameless. He didn't say he was sinless. He said he was blameless. They couldn't point their finger at him and blame him for not keeping part of the law, because outwardly he did, as far as they knew. But then inwardly, in his mind, when the commandment came, what, sin revived and I died. See, there's a lot of people out there who don't know nothing. And guess what? That commandment hasn't penetrated their brain yet. Sin hasn't revived in them, and they haven't died. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Ah, shoot. That's what I was saying. I've lost it. It was something really profound, too. All right. Okay. This commandment, without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This next verse was basically what I was heading for. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why I was thinking of the Gestetner, Walter, because that was the scripture we put at the top of the bulletin. I did not know there was a big debate about this verse. Well, is this God or is this Jesus? Well, I can give him one answer. Yes. What's your problem? He did just say, right at the very verse before this, that, you know, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that would seem to be the subject of this next phrase, which in his times he shall show. Yes. Who's he? Christ. Who's showing? Christ. What's he showing? That he's the blessed and only potentate. The governor of the world. The one in overall charge of the world. And he's the only one. And he's going to show it at his appearing. See, right now, we already have where Paul wrote. Says he is proud, knowing nothing, because they will not consent or submit to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows nothing. One day they are going to know, because he is going to show. He's coming. And he's coming, and he's going to show. He's not making himself potentate. It's just going to be manifested. it's going to be made known. He's not becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's going to be manifested. And some people are not going to take it very well. I believe there's a verse in there somewhere about some people crying out for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide themselves from the one that's coming. That ain't going to work either. I don't have to show you who's the blessed and only potentate. I can't show the world. And I don't have to show. He's going to show. He's going to show the world. In His times. Not before. You're going to know after. But it's His times. There are those that we're surrounded by who know nothing. But when He shows, they're going to know. It's not going to help them, but they're going to know. So you better know now. You better believe Him now. You better know Him now, because this is the one with whom everyone is going to have to do. The blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't have to show Him as the only potentate. I just have to preach Him.
Right.
That's it.
That's right.
I just got to preach Him. Walter and I were talking on the phone the other day about the sower and the seed. The ground's there. I've got to throw seed. I got to throw seed. And if you want to put it that way, let the chips fall where they may. I'm not making any ground good. I'm not making any ground bad either. And I thank God for that. Because if there was something there I could mess up, I would. Only those whom God has quickeneth, made alive, will consent and hear the wholesome words of our Lord. And the world will never see this blessed and only potentate until His time when He shows. It's time for me to stop. Pastime. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, Deb and I had a discussion about this yesterday. I was telling her about it. Because she was wondering about it. Where it says, who only hath immortality? Well, you know, He's the only one with immortality, Walter, intrinsically. Just like life, intrinsically. He is life. He is immortality. We are given everlasting life, but it's in Him. It's not of ourselves. It's a foreign object to us. It is alien to us as we are alien to it. But Christ is immortal. He is life. How can He not be immortal? He is life. And right now, He's dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is dwelling in the light where no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see, but we're going to see. because he is going to appear. He is going to come. And he is going to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is the day I am waiting for. I am waiting for his day. I am waiting for his appearing. I am waiting for his coming. And I'm going to try to profess a good profession until then. That's all I can do. And by his grace, I will. But the question is, do you know the blessed and only potentate? And yes, it is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for your Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our substitute, our sacrifice, our federal head, our life. Thank you for everything you have given us in your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Huh? Stop.